Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome. It's not Chuck and Julie. It's Karen Cataline. Boy, am I honored to be here filling in, handling all the technical issues here for doing video. Video hasn't always been my thing, but that's okay because I am pleased to be here. We have a terrific show planned for you. And somebody's mic is on, I think, but that's okay. So we have at 3:15 the Weld County attorney who's going to talk to us about a memo that he put out that I think is important for absolutely everybody to see. And he's going to talk about it with us. As you can see, I have my little screen up here, my other computer. So if you know, that's what I'm looking at right now. So I'm going to have a few comments and a few remarks before we get started. And then towards the end of the show, I hope to introduce you not only to someone who is a very big friend of the show who's on regularly, Jan Cook, but to talk a little bit more personally with her. She has a lot to share and report about Colorado Freedom Force and what happened yesterday. But I also want to talk with her a little more personally, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. And that is, how do you keep going? How do you keep going with all of this insanity going on? I think it'd be fair to say that both Chuck and Julie and myself have a majority conservative audience. I'm proud of that. I don't mind. I love talking to people that might disagree, but for the most part, I like firing up the base, not just the base, but people who love liberty and care a great deal about preserving this country and its constitution. I don't mind telling you, you are not alone, that all of the things that are happening right now, to my way of thinking, are not accidents, because you have the same players over and over and over again who are infringing upon our rights, using excuses to neuter and shut down law-abiding citizens who love their freedom and who love to be held accountable and who hold themselves accountable. Those people have an entirely different set of expectations than the people who seem to parrot the leftist, socialist, communist narrative, and that's exactly what we're dealing with today. And for them, they can do anything they want. Now, a lot of people have commented on this, and of course, I've written about it a great deal. My website, if you care to go there, I just had a new piece out just today, and here's my website here. I ought to put it on camera, but I don't have that technical ability. I'm lucky enough just to get that going, okay? So, let's see what I can tell you about my piece. It's called Ennobling Insurgents and Demonizing Those Who Try to Stop Them. So please go there, KarenCataline.com. Just look under blog and you'll find all of my blogs and articles. And here's the thing. Not only do we have to deal with all of these radical communists, socialists, leftists, some of whom are honest about what they're trying to do to this country, and their mask is off, folks. Their mask is off. Suddenly, they're not so covert about what they're trying to do to the country. I credit Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. Nope, that was a Freudian slip of the tongue. I credit Donald Trump with exposing people and what they really want to do to this country. What I wanted to get to before we have our first guest is the Stapleton, Walker Stapleton. In case you didn't know, rolled over this week. He rolled over this week and said, here's the Twitter, and a lot of people, including myself, didn't mince words about what we thought of what he said. So I'm going to read to you the Twitter. Walker Stapleton says this: disappointed only that the Dem process overlooked voters cast multiple times by neighborhood residents. But if, he says, changing a name brings more equity, fairness, and opportunity for Denverites and specifically Coloradans of color, I'm all in. In other words, he's willing to change his family name in order to appease and capitulate to the radical left and this cultural revolution that is being imposed upon us without our consent. Remember that little thing, consent of the governed, in order, and supposedly he thinks that's going to get them to stop. They will never stop. Little background, Tay Anderson, our not so favorite radical socialist, who is now a part of the Denver City Council, has made an ultimatum and a threat. He basically said, if you do not change the name of the Stapleton redevelopment plan, this is the name that was named after the airport. Hell, everybody knows I'm Jewish. I don't like the KKK either. But do I blame weak, feckless Walker Stapleton for the fact that his ancestor was an anti-Semite and a KKK guy? No, I don't. I don't think anybody ought to be held accountable for their ancestors. Would you like to be held accountable for your kid or for anybody? Well, your kid is probably different. I got so much to say, it's astounding, and I got to say it quickly, and even if I'm hosting. I have many, many people. I have lots of time for calls. Come on, Karen, you can do it. We have lots of time for calls. And after we talk to Bruce Barker, the Weld County attorney, who we will be talking to in just a few minutes, he's on the line, but I want to complete this so you're not going, what the heck happened? What happened here? I want to complete this. Then we'll have time for your calls as well. And I really hope that you will tune, that you will give a call, because I want to know how you're keeping it together. I want to know what keeps you going when it seems as if we are David and they're Goliath. I do believe that we can win this, but I also do believe we're David and they're Goliath. And so I'm focused on how to fight back, what's the most effective way to fight back, how to help people find their voice again. It's mind-boggling how completely dumbstruck so many people are who you think would know a little better. And I'm not just talking about everyday citizens who are walking around with masks, even though the narrative is preposterous and foolish and does great damage psychologically. Have you noticed people are meaner? They're less friendly. They're all isolated from one another. That's not accidental. So getting back to Walker Stapleton so we can have time for our guest. I decided to tweet to Walker Stapleton mostly because I think the time for mincing words is over. While our opponents are burning down buildings and taking over blocks of cities, it's time for us to find our voice. Nobody here is advocating any violence, but if you cannot be clear about what you think and where you stand, and Chuck and Julie listeners are certainly not afraid to do that, but now it's time for all of us to fire up all of our friends and neighbors who may be a little bit scared. We can't cleave to that fear. We don't bow down to fear in the United States of America. There is a rustling of energy happening. So here's what I said to Walker Stapleton. Yeah, it wasn't very nice, but if people don't like me, oh well. Here's the perfect name change for you, I said to Walker Stapleton, who's rolling over to the hard left, Neville Chamberlain. No foresight, no honor, no courage. Thanks for giving us Jared Polis too. you're betting 1,000. And yes, it was that kind of fecklessness and that kind of weakness that did give us Walker, gave us Jared Polis, because Walker Stapleton could have run a heck of a lot better campaign. And he ran that campaign like he had, like he was a deer in headlights. I was appalled by that. I didn't like it at all. So I hear somebody breathing into the microphone. It must mean that we need to take our next, our very first guest. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show, Weld County Attorney Bruce Baker. Thanks for joining us, Bruce.
Hello. Yeah, it's Barker, B-A-R-K-E-R.
I am so sorry.
Barker. That's all right.
You are on, there you are. There you are in your office. Do you have time to stick with us for roughly about 20 minutes or so?
I do.
Great. I am so delighted that you were able to join us because, can you see me okay? Can you see me?
Yes.
Why not?
Okay. Yeah, I sure can.
Bruce, first off, tell everybody a little bit about your background, about how you came to be in this position of Weld County Attorney.
Well, I've been in this position since 1993, and actually I was an assistant county attorney since I got out of law school in 1983. So I've been with Weld County for 37 years. I actually tried to retire a number of years ago, but then came back. So I've enjoyed it all that time, and I've got a good group that I work with, and really feels like a strong family type atmosphere around here.
Well, Bruce, I'll tell you, I don't know. I might say that this is one of the most important times, it wouldn't surprise me, in your career, because never have we seen such a threat to everyday liberty. Chuck and Julie, the hosts of this show, are constantly telling me that they are jealous that I live in Weld County, because things are even worse in Denver and Arapahoe and all of those other places. I might also say, never has it been more important for you to know who your county commissioners are, your attorneys in those counties, and who it is who represents you, because they can act as a buffer, a good buffer, between us and a completely out-of-control governor and health department. Tell us about this wonderful memo that you wrote. I was so glad. Now, you know, you can give us more of the background on this, but you wrote a memo to the Board of County Commissioners of Weld County, and it was stellar, in which you set a boundary and a limit. Tell everybody who may not be an attorney what this memo is all about and why is it important to all the counties in Colorado. I think it is.
Sure. It actually came about because I was getting a lot of requests or questions by the county commissioners, and they were getting questions by their constituents, a lot of business owners asking them, well, can we open up, just wanting to make certain that they comply with the law. And so I had seen the public health orders that were issued by the CDPHE. There were two of them, in particular, the one on safe at home and the second one on safer at home, which both of which have been amended numerous times. But in looking at those, I kept thinking to myself, you know, these are really general orders, and those orders have rules in them. Their rules not saying you need to isolate or you need to quarantine, but rather general rules on how you go about living your life and running your business or closing your business, as the case may be. And so the first thing that I did, like I do with all orders, I looked to see what is the authority that whoever issued the order that they may have. And interestingly, in both of those orders, neither one of them cites any authority as to why the state health department director can issue those. Mm-hmm. I think it probably stems from Governor Polis's orders. They probably think that that's the case. But at any rate, that's the first sort of red flag I had. The second red flag was knowing that the Attorney General's office is not enforcing either one of those orders in any county.
Let me stop there saying, for a minute. If you would, Bruce, we're with Bruce Barker, the Weld County Attorney. You sent me a wonderful audio video. Don, do we have that so everybody can hear that? If not, that's okay. I sent it to him at the last minute. Don? He must be doing something. I sent him an audio of that very thing, and Jared Polis said in that short little audio that these laws weren't enforceable, didn't he?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and so here we are, bending over backwards and going broke and businesses closing when he did not even make an executive order with any teeth in it. I've also heard, Bruce, that there is no paper trail for any of these laws that he's made. Is that true?
Well, I think you need to distinguish, however, between the executive orders that the governor signs and then the order that the two orders, multiple orders actually by now, that the state health director signed. I think the governor has the ability to do orders which actually by statute become law. But saying in his orders, he ordered the state health director to make other orders, public health orders, that had various rules by which you have to live by.
Right.
So that's different than what I was explain is that it's different than an order to quarantine or isolate. Definitely they have the authority to do that, but doing general rules, there's no authority for the state health director to do that except by rulemaking.
Yeah, and so for non-lawyers like myself, maybe what we should do is go to the last page of your memo and say that the, and then work our way back and
sure.
Say that, tell me if I'm right, that what they were demanding is that Weld County file for some sort of variance in order to have permission to operate in full capacity. And your answer to that is a variance is not needed because none of this has any legal effect at all. I thought that was brilliant because in a way it's a trap. If you acknowledge that someone has power and authority, then they do, right? So how can everyday citizens understand why this is so important to us and why they need to contact their counties, whether they're in Denver or on the Western Slope, that this can be used for every county to fight back against this socialist governor?
Well, I think if you go along with the premise that the state health director can issue orders that are rules that then tell you how to live your life and run your business, then that person has the ability to change his or her mind at any time. The variances include, at the very end of every one of them, a short statement that says that the state health director has the ability to rescind that variance at any time for any reason. And so the question, I think, really comes down to, do you want to submit to that sort of discretionary authority? When in fact, through my review, they don't have that authority to begin with.
See, and I love that. I mean, I want to really punch that point. Again, for non-lawyers, and frankly, I'm proud to be a non-lawyer. When I need one, I call them, but I hope I never need them. And that is the short-term gain of saying, well, we need to open, versus the long-term loss of acknowledging and actually bowing down to authority that they do not have. I have been trying in Weld County to get people to open their restaurants and to defy these ridiculous and unlawful orders. And I'm telling you, the effect that pulling a license from a restaurant in Castle Rock had, all it reverberated all over this state, and people were afraid to open because they didn't understand the politics. They're in the restaurant business. They don't do politics every day like I do. And they could not understand how maybe our Weld County commissioners could protect them from this, and that they needed to stand up and fight back. So what can you tell all of us, not only in Weld County, we have listeners in Weld County, but what we need to know in order to fight back, because we need to fight back on every front. I mean, my God, you know, if you're not fighting back now, you ain't watching.
Well, I think it really comes down to making certain that the people that are creating the rules do so properly. And that's through rulemaking. It's not by doing an order that then you can rescind it anytime, change it anytime. And that order actually creates a criminal liability. So you have an unelected official who is creating a crime, and you're just doing what you normally do, living your life or running your business.
And that is so important. That is so important, because good conservatives know that there are so many laws on the books that if people want to come after you, they can find a law to charge you. I mean, look at Roger Stone and General Flynn. If they are after you, they can find something to charge you with. Or what do they say, the person in search of a crime? So we cannot roll over to this kind of tyranny, because as we know, the more we give in to tyranny today, the more tyranny they impose tomorrow. First off, let me just take a little sidestep and ask you, in your years as an attorney, as a constant, you know, working with Weld County, have you ever seen times like this ever?
No, I have not. I've been here for 37 years. I've never seen it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, as I say, don't understand. I think Chuck and Julie listeners understand just how incredibly dangerous these times are and how we must fight back on all fronts. So I was delighted that you made this memo public and that anybody can get a copy of it. If people want to get a copy of this memo from me, all you have to do is send me an email, Karen@KarenCataline.com, and I'll send you a copy of it. From this point forward, where does this memo, you just sent the memo to the Weld County commissioners. Do you have a sense of what Weld County is going to do about it and where it'll go from here?
Well, I don't know what the Board of County Commissioners will do with the with that. I think that my answer, the question that was posed to me is it wise to do variances? And in my opinion, it's not. Because right. Then you're playing into the game, and I don't think you need to play that game. So that was really, you know, my answer. Where it goes from there, I don't know. I just hope that if in fact there is a second wave and there's a desire to make orders that are similar, they do it right. They do it through rulemaking. The Board of Health, the State Board of Health, has that authority. But it's more difficult, and it's more difficult in the sense that it's a little more cumbersome, a little more time-consuming. They have to actually publish the rule once it's done. All of those things make it so that it's not as easy for the governor to say, you need to do this. I direct Jill Ryan as state health director to get that done. And I think that's important. If you're going to do the rule, do it right.
Well, and I could do an hour on why not only are the rules wrong based on a 0.4% mortality rate of a virus that is apparently less dangerous even to the most vulnerable population than it was the seasonal flu, We have no reason to believe that suddenly the same players are going to start playing fair when they have not played fair up until now. And I just don't think it can be missed, the incredible significance of not asking permission from people who don't have authority in the first place. And I think that's what you put your foot down and said. Now, how can other counties use this to their advantage to fight back against this? Because we have a run amok monopoly of power under the Gold Dome, including all of the elected officials who are governing against the will of the people. What can we do both legally and with this memo and your position to fight back? That's what we have to do now. And it isn't about asking permission. It's about saying, you work for us, and you got to stop stepping all over us with a jackboot, because that's what they're doing.
Well, one thing I want to mention is that I've been sort of formulating this idea in my mind as we were going through all this in May, and I think it was May 13th. There was a case that came down from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which the similarities between Colorado and Wisconsin on how the state government has dealt with this issue are remarkable. And that case basically runs through everything that I put in my memo, really, saying it's a rule, you need to do it like that. You can't create a rule, have a state health director create a rule that is really a criminal rule and needs to be done by the legislature.
You know what?
So
go ahead.
That's important to know, is that was the state legislature suing the governor and the state health director saying you can't do this, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreeing.
Bruce, I think part of the problem too is that we're in such uncharted territory. People are so, the word I used was gobsmacked by all of this, because they're going about this in a different way than we're ever used to keep us off guard. Now we have a caller, Iggy. Iggy, do you have a question for our guest, Bruce Barker?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right, Bruce. I live here in Erie, okay, and we have some restaurants opening up, and of course, you may know that Erie straddles Boulder County and Weld County, and the city of Erie has chosen to follow Boulder County rules, okay? And we have a group of people that go around calling and threatening businesses, turning them in, to turn them in to whom, I don't know. They do identify themselves, they don't do it anonymously, they try. So they're giving the appearance that they have some kind of power over these people, which they do not. And it scares these people, because one of the individuals involved has I guess a newspaper or magazine, you might call it, called a yellow thing, which she can, you know, trash a lot of people easily. So I don't know. Is there anything we can do about something like that? Of course, it is in the city of Erie. It has nothing to do necessarily with Weld County.
But that's Erie is Weld County, right? Or is it Erie is half Weld and half Boulder? Is that right?
Boulder.
Let's give Bruce a chance. That's a great question, Iggy. Go ahead, Bruce.
You know, I guess the big question that you've got is, is there anything legally you can do to stop them from doing that intimidating? And I'm afraid that that's just, it's going to be a part of life where there are some people that are saying, oh gosh, you need to be having your masks on, you need to be doing this and following the state health order, and we're going to turn you in. My question is, turn you into who? I mean,
yeah.
If you're asking local law enforcement to, you know, if they're asking local law enforcement, the town police may follow up on it. But as far as I know, any other law enforcement in this county is not spending any time enforcing any of those orders.
Except, so, Bruce, isn't it true that the CNC Cafe down in Castle Rock, the governor himself pulled their license, and then they had to spend a bunch of money in attorney's fees to get it back. So there's snitch lines. I mean, we're talking old Soviet Union stuff. How do people fight against that? Caller?
And here's the deal. Most of the people involved, now, nobody's asked me to do this. I've just heard this, and I've asked some specific questions, and it did not happen to me personally. But the people at risk are, number one, are people that have liquor licenses, okay, or other licenses that can easily be pulled. And the other fear that they have, since half of their clientele come from Boulder County, which has got off the rails as far as socialism thing, is damaging their business as far as that goes. But the liquor licenses are real tough. And you can't, you know, once that's gone, it costs you a fortune to get it back.
Thank you, Iggy, for calling. Thank you for the call. We're going to move on. Yeah. I want to let people know, Bruce, can you stay for another couple of minutes in case there are other calls?
Yes.
Thank you very, very much. I think, you know, people living in Weld County, because it is such a conservative county, we can be the leaders for the rest of the state. We can help people who feel like they're all alone with people like you who stood up. I'm so proud and pleased that you wrote this memo and that it got out. I'm assuming there are attorneys, county attorneys in every county, right?
Yes.
So I think it's incumbent upon anybody listening to contact their county attorney, and they may lean left, we never know, probably in Boulder they do, but I can make this memo available to them. Anybody, if you would like to ask Bruce a question in our next 5 minutes, you can call 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, just unmute yourself, and we'd love to hear a question from you. It's great to have listeners and video. And we have this great resource, Bruce Barker, with us, Weld County attorney. Is there anybody who would like to ask another question? Iggy, you can ask another question if you like, if nobody else does. And then we're going to wrap it up with Bruce Barker, and then we'll take calls from everyone else. Any final thoughts? Yes.
Hey, Karen.
Who's this?
It's Peg. It's Peg. Peggy Cage. Hi.
You live in Boulder County, don't you?
I do. I've been the chairman of the Boulder County Republicans, so I'm quite aware of their tendencies. So, Bruce, this is fascinating. I didn't catch all of what your memo said, but I know that there are a lot of people in Boulder who would love to open their businesses and open them to the fullest extent. A restaurant that can only have a quarter or half of capability to, you know, to have customers, they can't survive with that. And we've got some restaurant owners that would love to be bold and stand up, but I don't know if they're more afraid of the snitches or the government. You know, they've
Bruce.
So I don't. If you have any suggestions for us, Bruce, any kind of paperwork that we can take to these people and say, you know, these laws don't have any teeth.
I don't have any paperwork other than I wrote the memo,
yes.
Which was designed for the Board of County Commissioners and sort of answering their question as to whether they should ask for a variance for various businesses or not. I think it's a problem in that a lot of people go along with this order, and I've been fascinated by it, in the sense that there has been very little pushback.
Yes.
And, you know, it sort of surprises me. I mean, when I talk with county attorneys from across the state, they're more than happy to go along with it and looking for variances and talking about those variances and very proud that they in fact got those. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you spending the time on that, especially when that variance could be taken away at any time for any reason by the state health director?
Right.
Doesn't that right to continue operating a business continue and unfettered by the state health director? So, I mean, I guess what I would say is this, is that, you know, I've talked to other county attorneys, I've brought these issues up, but I think the easier path is to ask the state health director to give a variance. And the harder path is to say, no, it's not something that we're going to go along with and really sort of stand up to it. One other concern, though, I have is, you know, the businesses you're talking about, the restaurants, they have a food license that is issued usually by the local health department, but it's actually a state license. And right. So, you know, another problem area, another red flag that always goes up with me is when you have an order and in the order they say, well, if you don't comply with this order, we're going to enforce in a different manner, either take away your liquor license or take away your food license or whatever other license it is. And that to me says, well, you know, you don't have teeth in the original order that you issued. So why did you issue it in the first place?
Bruce, Peg, I want you, because our friend Don has that short little audio of the governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, saying this. Do you have that queued up, Don? I didn't give him much notice, but yes, he has it. Go ahead.
Because the thing about an order, and even though it's an order, you know, there's never any criminal enforcement of that order, right? It's just saying this is important enough to be called an order.
See, that short little thing right there, Peg, and thank you, Bruce, for sending that to me. When you said you haven't seen much pushback, you may have started a firestorm. I certainly hope that you have, because, yes, Peg?
I hope he has, and I would like to see the churches see this and see the memo. I'm so sad that the churches have been sidelined, and well, that's the frustration that I have, is that they aren't standing up to this nonsense.
Peg, if you would hold on a minute, I don't want to keep Bruce, unless he'd like to stay. You're more than welcome to stay. But I have a comment about that, because there has been some pushback. And then I'll tell you what happened with that. And you probably know, because you stay on top of this stuff. You're just wonderful. Bruce, I'm going to make sure that people get a copy of this memo, that they can make it available to all of their county attorneys, whatever county they live in. And do you have any other final thoughts on how we can put a fire under people to fight back? Because we don't fight back now, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, and it's already gotten worse.
Well, I guess two things. One is that this issue needs to be brought up. This issue needs to be discussed, which is, if you're going to issue rules, fine and dandy, do it through rulemaking, which is the proper process. So if you're going to do what you've done, make certain you do it right. And don't just keep going along and doing what you've done before. I think the second thing is, and I've been telling the county commissioners this, if we're facing a second wave, people need to know how to deal with other people and in circumstances, how to take precautions on their own. And that goes back to individual responsibility. And I think these orders have a tendency to say, well, we're not going to allow you to have individual responsibility. Instead, we're going to order you to do what we think you ought to do and how you ought to live your life. And I don't think that sits well up here in Weld County.
Well, and thank God it does not, because I've written loads and loads of editorials about the collectivist groupthink that they're trying to impose upon us that takes away our individual rights. It's all rooted in intentionality. What bothers me sometimes, Bruce, and everyone listening, is the enormous amount of goodwill that we offer to people that have no goodwill towards us. They give them the benefit of the doubt when they don't deserve it. You can't tell me that Jared Polis is a very smart man and all the Democrats who are marching in lockstep, whether they're in Minnesota or in Washington state or anywhere else, are not doing this in a very intentional way. And when they make supposed executive orders, because they're depending that we're not either smart enough or do our due diligence to find people like you to say, hey, wait a minute, hello, you can't do this. I think they're doing it dishonestly on purpose so they can't be held accountable later. Is that possible, Bruce? Well, I it's not fair to ask you to speculate, but I'm a talk radio host, so I can speculate all I want. You know, there's a reason they didn't do this the right way. That's what I'm saying. So attributing any good intentions to these people is a bad idea. Thank you so much for your time, for joining us. I hope I can call upon you in the future. I will tell Chuck and Julie about you. And anytime I do local politics, Colorado, statewide, whatever, I hope we can call upon you. So thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you, too. Peg, stay on the line here because we've got a few minutes before. Actually, we don't have too many minutes at all because our next guest is with us. But I wanted, because Jan is here, and I wanted to have an extended conversation with Jan. Boy, an hour goes quickly. But Peg Peg Cage is just a blessing to everyone who knows her. And it's an honor to know some of the people in Colorado conservatism. Peg, I'll tell you, I was involved with, and you know I don't go to church. I can't even go to synagogue these days. And what happened, you can thank, if you didn't already know, John Roberts. Bush appointee John Roberts put a total kibosh on the church lawsuit that was happening. There was a class action suit going for churches to open based on First Amendment. So do you realize that thank you, that's the second betrayal of John Roberts. And so that's why that lawsuit was canceled. So they've infiltrated every area of our institutions, right? And we can still fight back. We got one of the most optimistic people, you and Jan, probably more optimistic than I am. So I wanted you to know that, Peg. Did you have any final thoughts before I bring on Jan?
No, I want to hear what Jan has to say. We've been working together behind the scenes, so we want to see this state open up. And I just want to mention that we've been in big groups down at the Capitol at least twice. I went down on May 17th to hear Teague talk about how we should open up right now. And we were in a huge crowd. And then we went down again to try and stop the legislation from passing that 163, that horrid vaccination bill. And we were in a big crowd then. And nobody's been sick from there. You know, I can't discount this disease entirely. But I think Bruce was right. We need to learn how to deal with this disease. And it's not by closing down the society and shuttering our businesses and
being
hurting
used
our
as
citizens.
An excuse. And now the farce is preposterous when you see people burning down our cities, still see people wearing masks in grocery stores. I find it to be such a farce. It makes me angry. And you are welcome to just stay as part of the conversation as we talk to Jan.
Yeah.
I love you both and the work that you do. And we have some great patriots who are out there working both in front of and behind the scenes. Everyone knows Jan Cook from Colorado Freedom Force. Jan, I wanted you to have you on because, you know, you're used to doing little short bits about what's going on. And you have a lot of news to tell us. But because I really, we'll save time for this. I wanted to ask you, and I didn't get enough time to really do my little monologue because I was, you know, dealing with so many things. To talk about this, people that I see who have spent years fighting for freedom, fighting for liberty, seeing liberty slip away. And these times, you may not have heard our last guest, Bruce Barker. I asked him, have you ever seen anything like this? And he said, no, not in his 37 years. My dear father, may he rest in peace, would be heartbroken as to what's happening to this country. And you can't do anything about it until you pay attention to just how serious it is. Now, I've never given up hope. I don't intend to give up hope. But I see a lot of people who are discouraged, who are upset, who are ready to throw in the towel because they see the level of corruption on every level in all of these different institutions. We get shot down, even the Supreme Court, right? So you're one of the most hardworking and optimistic people that I know. And you, I call you the Energizer Bunny because you just keep going and going and going. Mm-hmm. What keeps you going and what can you impart for the rest of us? Because I've never seen anybody more focused than you.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. And Peg, please come back up. We have all of us have our glasses on today. I think the important thing is that since I can remember, this didn't come from my parents. My parents, I never knew what their political affiliations were when I was growing up. This is something that is inside of me. I love this country. I love freedom. And I can't imagine not loving this country. And I've been listening a lot lately to Scott Adams, the Dilbert cartoon guy. He's now sort of becoming a philosopher, if you will, on Twitter and on his Periscope. And he shares a lot of the same values I have. We grew up in a small households with not a lot of money, where you had to sort of, I had to get babysitting jobs and other little odd jobs in order to have the extras, like school clothes and things like that, or something extra other than the basics that my parents could provide. But what his parents instilled in him and what my parents instilled in me was you just had to be present. You just had to go out into the world and make it happen. It wasn't going to happen because somebody was going to hand you something. In this country, regardless of race, regardless of your background, you can either work very hard at being a victim and be a victim very well, or you can work really hard and make something in your life. And it really, I've seen this over and over and over again. Those who can keep picking up and keep going and keep moving on are those who just know that if I put the energy and the effort in this, something good will come of it. And I'd like to give you an example of good people like Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager, this one human being, has put together that Prager University that has changed the minds of millions of millennials and the younger generation that's coming up from one person that puts their energy and their effort can really make an enormous difference. And I think that that's sort of the philosophy that I have. And then it took 12 disciples with Jesus. It was 56 people that signed the declaration. You can have 2,000 rioters and looters, but what did they create? What did they accomplish with that energy? And yet 56 people signed the Declaration of Independence that became our Constitution, that became something that is so viable and lasting for several centuries. So I think that that's what people have to step back and say, I may not be Dennis Prager. I may not be the best volunteer in the world, but if I make a few phone calls, if I walk and knock on a few doors to help get the right legislators that value freedom, that value your rights, elected in November, we can move mountains. It won't take that much. And that's basically the philosophy.
Yeah, Jan, and then we're going to go to all the wonderful ways that you offer people to participate and get involved. Yeah. And some of what's going on in the legislature, which thank God, I think closed. Are they done? Are they done?
Yeah. Well, I, you know, last I heard today, but who knows?
You never know
today.
So we can breathe a sigh of relief there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the social worker in me wants to help and minister. That's the wrong word for me. People who, and I get discouraged too. Mm-hmm. Simply because I see the level, the thing that bothers me the most, well, is several things. People like Walker Stapleton who roll over and think that he's going to appease somebody. Neville Chamberlain is the perfect name for him. That's number one. So people who do roll over. And then, oh gosh, 3 minutes left to our whole show? Oh my God. Oh, time has gotten away from me. My producer says 3 minutes. I got to stop there and let you talk as quickly as you can because you're good at that. What's happening? Well, what happened yesterday and what do people need to pay attention to?
The key thing that we need for people to focus, this is the election season now. We have got fabulous candidates that are trying to fight for your freedom. So I want to highlight two things. Go to Facebook and join Taking Back Colorado. There's a list of all the candidates that are running with their websites and how you can get involved.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to talk about a young lady by the name of Samantha Cook. She spells her last name K-O-C-H. And she's running against Susan Lahntein, House District 1. She is the lady who is Planned Parenthood Lahntein, who was the sponsor for the sex ed mandated bill last year that became law. So we've got a phenomenal candidate. You just go to SamanthaForColoradoValues.com, SamanthaForColoradoValues.com and find out, ask her what you can do to help get her elected. But
right.
Back Colorado on Facebook, join it, find all the candidates there, help us out in the next few months.
I have to wrap up the show, so how can people connect with you on Facebook and Twitter and on the Colorado Freedom Force? You stay on top of what the next big thing is to do.
Yes, and I'm volunteering with Colorado Freedom Force and also helping many other different organizations. So yes, go to Twitter at Jan Cook Live. And you'll see some of the issues that I'm following. And if you're following me, we can direct message at Jan Cook Live on Twitter.
Okay. Thank you. I'll have to have you on again, and we can have that more psychological conversation about what
keeps
you going. You have a fan in me. So thank you, Jan Cook, for joining
us. Take care.
As always, thank you. So I just wanted to make a few final comments. I don't even know how long we have. Don, how long do we have? First off, thank you for joining me as I fill in proudly for Chuck and Julie. Thanks to BBS Radio and to Doug and Don, the twins. And thanks to my husband, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And I think that every single one of us has something special to offer. And when you do get down a little bit, as I do, grab on to the people you love and care about the most and prop each other up, because I don't believe that this will stand. I don't believe tyranny will stand, but it's an awful lot easier to get your freedom when you haven't lost it first. And I think we all know that. Let's not get any further down the rabbit hole than we already are. This is going to be a tough summer, and we're all going to have to, be tough. So. Shows like this are incredibly important in doing that kind of thing. And of course, thanks to Chuck and Julie. I love them both. They are wonderful and true credit to the community. Thanks for joining me. Please visit me at KarenCataline.com, and I'll do my show on Friday. And I'll be on Alan Nathan's show tomorrow. And you can find all that information at Facebook. Thanks so much. Take care.